Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This podcast is all about how I lost 80 hours of time in 2 weeks and still managed to stay on top of things. Today in the podcast, I'm going to share with you how being organized and living an organized life allows you to be more productive and be able to handle those unexpected emergencies and events that come into every person's life. Change is inevitable. Unexpected events are going to happen. They are a guaranteed, but they are unexpected. We don't know when they'll come, how they'll come, how long they'll take, and when they will finally go away, but we do know they will come. A few weeks ago, I had a series of events happen in a matter of just 2 to 3 days that cost me 80 hours out of the next 2 weeks of my life. Some of these were good changes, some of these were bad changes, all of them were unexpected. I'm going to walk you through that 16 days, how these events unfolded over that time, and what ended up being sacrificed out of my schedule, and how I got back on track. Now, the irony of this is that as it was happening, I was super excited to share this information with you on the podcast, both to show you how much easier it is to handle the unexpected when you're organized, and I want to help you with the everyday processing that I need to go through on a consistent basis to reprioritize what I do in my schedule. I figured the best way to show you that was to actually take you through these weeks in my life. Being organized means you can handle a lot more uncertainty without as much drama and stress. Ironically, as I'm recording this, I've had another unexpected event happen in our life. My grandmother passed away, and luckily, since I'm so organized and had already recovered from this first bout of uncertainty and additional items on my to-do list, I was able to travel 2 weekends in a row back to visit with my family and deal with my grandmother's death without it causing a huge ramification on my family and our schedule at home. So let's go through this 2-week period of time, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything that happened that cost me 80 hours in 2 weeks. The first thing that happened was that one of my employees needed time off for a family event that happened in their life, which meant that the 10 hours a week that they work for me, I now needed to do for myself. Then, both of my children had medical emergencies that happened back to back. Both times I had to pick the child up from school, and both times we thought we were going to the ER. Only one child ended up in the ER, and those doctor's appointments and events that happened medically to them, and the subsequent follow-up appointments, new medicines, and all those protocols cost me 40 hours in 2 weeks. So 10 plus 10 plus 40 equals 60. Now, before I go on, I want to let you know the kids are fine and they're healthy now. I didn't want you worrying through the whole podcast what happened to my kids. Also, during this time was when we found out that my grandmother had fallen, and it was not a life-threatening fall, but that meant she was now in a rehab facility, and that caused us to make some changes to our Thanksgiving plans. That, plus another family's unexpected surgery, added about 3 hours just in planning, communicating, sending cards, and talking to family. Those are the things that you don't think about. You don't think about when you're going to be spending extra time on the phone, or running to the store to buy a card, or just reorganizing your calendar. A lot of times we think that we go through our calendar and do the Sunday basket on Sunday, but I spend a lot of my time during the week, I would say probably 30 minutes a day, just coordinating my husband's, 2 kids, and my schedules, along with all the different work needs that I have. Then next, a really fun, unexpected thing happened. I have a new accountability partner in my business who decided to fly into Cincinnati so we could plan our 2017 business strategies together, bounce ideas off of each other, and give each other feedback. We have completely different businesses, and we aren't partners in business with each other. We're just accountability partners. So while this was super exciting, and I was super excited to do it, it cost me 23 hours on a weekend. And my grandmother's passing is also costing me 2 weekends in a row. And you guys know how my productivity hacks and I make all this whole ship work around here is by maximizing the weekends. Greg does the grocery shopping on Saturday, and I do the Sunday basket and every other household-related task that I can on Sunday. So now, if you do the math, we're at 60 hours that we already talked about, plus the 23 hours when my friend came in, we're at 83 hours, and then there were more things that happened after that. Additionally, my email delivery system decided to stop working for Organize 365. I've had other times when I've had computer programs not work, or my computer just dies and I had to replace it right away. During this 2 week span, it took me 4 hours to troubleshoot, figure out what the problem was, and get the program back up and working. Ironically, or maybe not so ironically, during this time, my husband also had to put in a lot of overtime at work. My husband rarely puts in overtime, but of course, you know this is true. When these unexpected events start to happen, they tend to come in groupings. So while all of this was going on, now my husband all of a sudden has to work overtime. So it's not like I could say, oh, can you take this child here and do this for me? No, he's actually working more than he usually does, which means he's not there to help me, which is what always happens. When it rains, it pours, right? Now that we know how I got into this mess, let me tell you how I handled the stress. There were 3 times during this 2 weeks of unexpected good and bad events that I had moments of panic. And both times I got a call from the school, I panicked. And when I was picking the kids up, I was mentally thinking, how urgent is this need? Who are all the different players that I need involved in making this medical decision? What are the ramifications long term? And once both children were out of the emergency situations and I realized the enormity of the time commitments I needed to make these changes for them in the next 2 weeks, I panicked. So I took an hour and I mapped out everything on my calendar. I made all the appointments I needed to make, mapped everything out on my calendar. I called my mother-in-law to see when she could help me with driving. And I immediately went and eliminated things off of my to-do list for work. I spent more time every Sunday really looking at my week and mapping everything out. Thinking through the things that I wasn't really thinking about, like, were there any times that I had to go to the store? Were there any special appointments that I needed to make? And calculating driving time. I was going places I don't normally go, and I didn't know what the traffic patterns were. Making sure that I really had all of that on the calendar so that nothing got lost. Now in January, on the first 3 Friday podcasts, I'm really going to dive into the 3 different stages of organization. As you know, I say it takes 3 years to get organized, and it does. But each stage of organization that you go through has totally different organizational goals and totally different outcomes at the end. Kind of like when I explained to you in the podcast about how I plan my year 3 times a year. And that each of those planning sessions, September to December, January to May, and June to August, start very structured and organized and end very chaotic and social. That is very similar to the 3 stages of organization. Each of the stages of organization start very chaotic and overwhelming, and they end up very fulfilled and organized for that stage, and then you move on to the next stage. So just to recap these real quickly, stage 1 is complete overwhelm. That's when every drawer is a junk drawer. You don't even know what the closets are for anymore. You just put stuff in there, shove the door shut, and hope that it stays shut. You're often very depressed. You're feeling overwhelmed. And you think, why even bother? There's no point even starting. It's going to take forever to get out of this mess. You want to give up, and often you're in debt at this point and you don't have the money to call in somebody to help you. Everything in your life has been an emergency and has taken extra time, and you don't have the bandwidth to handle life, which is why you got in an overwhelmed state to begin with. All of a sudden, you start to come out of that overwhelmed state and you mentally are more aware and healed, and you look around and think, who made this big mess? And how am I going to get it cleaned up? You start a project, you don't follow through because there's just so many projects that you find yourself rabbit trailing all over your house, trying to make inroads anywhere you can. You feel frustrated. The goal during the overwhelming stage is to just declutter and sell everything and anything that you don't want anymore. The next time you go through your house, you're actually in stage two, which is organization and systems. This is when you actually create those organizational systems that you desire. Your house is starting to function better. You don't constantly walk in a room and see 80 things that you don't even want and are possibly trash or donations or something that you want to sell. What's left in the home are things that you love and use and want. They just don't necessarily have a place to go. This is also the time when you go through each room systematically and you get one room organized and everything in that room has a place by the end of the year. You start in one room, I suggest the kitchen, which takes a couple of weeks, and you get that completely organized, and then you move on to the next space. I suggest the master closet. You get your master closet 100% organized. Now you have two spaces in your house that are organized, and slowly over time, the entire house gets organized that way. Then you get to year three. Year three, you're already organized. I used to call this stage maintenance, while you were maintaining the systems that you had. But upon further reflection this fall and living in this stage now for a couple of years, I realize that stage three is productive living. So if you come to me and you're overwhelmed and every drawer is a junk drawer and you want to learn productivity tips, I can't teach you productivity tips until you declutter your house and organize it. Productivity comes after organization. The more chaotic your life is, the harder it is to be productive. The more organized it is, the easier it is to be productive. So, because my house is already organized, and because we have someone cleaning our house, and I have an assistant in my business, and I've outsourced a lot of my business tasks, I have already organized spaces, and I can go 2 weeks or a month without doing any cleaning or organizing or having extra time to do those tasks, and the house will still function. Not forever, but for a while. It's much harder to get me unorganized. Okay, so now you've heard everything that happened to me in a short span of time, and I didn't get unorganized during that time. So what did I do? I have always said to my assistant that we don't worry about deadlines because this is just a blog. So this is the number one thing. I have managed my expectations. I love you guys. I love podcasting. I love producing this podcast. I love everything that I teach you. But the bottom line is this is free content. And if I miss a podcast, which I haven't yet, but if it were to happen, because so many things are happening at home, I'm pretty sure you'd understand, and it's not worth sacrificing anyone's family over me producing one podcast. We didn't miss any deadlines, but the expectation was and has always been that deadlines are arbitrary. This is just a blog, and we're here to help people get organized as best we can. We also work 2 weeks ahead. So I had my podcast recorded at least a week ahead, and I try to get 2 to 3 weeks ahead. I don't always achieve that, but I do it for many reasons. First of all, people get sick, unexpected events happen, and I don't do this all by myself. I have a podcast editor that uploads my podcast for me to iTunes. And then I have Pat, my assistant, who also helps me edit podcast show notes and the newsletter. I create all the content, but I don't do all of the scheduling of everything. So if one person gets sick, I either have to do their work or we have to be prepared ahead of time. If I'm proactive and plan ahead, then the odds of someone getting sick and me having to do the task are lower because we work so far ahead of time. What happened during that time was we lost that 2 week window I had. It became shorter, and I'm working on increasing it again, but it's always hard in December to have my podcast done very far in advance because there are unexpected events in our family. Lots of fun family, fun things to do, and I don't take a podcasting break. A lot of podcasters or bloggers will take 2 weeks off in December and not produce new content. I do produce new content for two reasons. One, when I listen to a podcast, I listen to it even during holidays or over summer breaks. So I like to produce it because I like to consume it. And two, hello, January, one of the top two New Year's resolutions is getting organized. So it doesn't really make sense for my getting organized podcast to take time off. And along the lines of I don't worry about deadlines, I worry more about people. I was more concerned about my employee and that I was spending time with her and that she had what she needs than I was about the details of my business. However, one change you will notice in 2017 is that the Wednesday podcast will only be the first and third Wednesday of the month. 8 podcasts a month is just a bit too cumbersome for me to pull off consistently. Now, the second reason why things didn't fall apart very much is that my systems are rock solid. I have been working on getting organized for 5 years. I just love that I have the flexibility that I'm able to wake up on a Saturday morning and after finding out that my grandmother had passed away, I was in the car 30 minutes later to spend the whole weekend up home. When I was disorganized, I could do that, but the cost I paid on the other end was astronomically higher than it is today. Some of the practical things I did to save time were: we immediately went to 100% using paper plates. We use paper plates in our house and we use regular plates. And it may sound obvious, but we don't normally think of these things to just go all the way to using paper plates and stop using regular plates. We also ate simpler meals and we ate a lot more fast food, of course. Every time I start to go towards disorder and more unexpected events, my communication with Greg becomes less and less. Which ironically is what you need in unexpected times, is more communications with your spouse so that you could be on the same page, so that you're not doing the same tasks or missing tasks, and that you both feel like you're moving at the same rate. So in order to communicate with Greg, usually we talk in the car after I drop the kids off at school and he's on his way to work, but we couldn't do that. And we often talk a couple of times during the day. And we talk when Greg is making dinner. So what we did is we decided to talk at lunchtime. He would come home at lunch or we would talk when he was on his way to lunch to make sure we knew who was going where, what we were having for dinner, and what needed to be done that day because I knew we were in survival. I knew that these 2 weeks was going to be very stressful and that we needed to make sure each day that we were connected for at least 10 minutes to really get on the same page. Now, because the weekends were getting knocked out of my schedule, I went to doing laundry every day, which is not my preference, but it definitely worked. Every morning before I took the kids to school, I would start a load of laundry. And then when I got back home from school, I would put it in the dryer and start another load. Then at lunchtime or at the end of the day, I would switch the laundry and fold up what was done. I also made my weekly list as detailed as I could on Sunday night. I took extra time each night before I went to bed, and I took a note card and wrote down exactly what my schedule was for the next day. That helped me for a few reasons. One, it helped me know who I was driving where, making sure everyone was getting picked up, and how everyone was going to get to be where they needed to be. Second, it told me how much time I had the next day to do any work-related tasks so that my goals matched my expectations. Now, like I've told you before, if you write out your to-do list before you go to sleep, your brain actually works on it while you're sleeping, and I needed all the multitasking I could get. So I made that list out, and then maybe the next morning I would think, oh, you know, it would be better if I did these things in this order instead of that order. Now, the third way that I really survived this time was I used my phone as effectively as possible. I'm really, in general, trying to figure out how to use my phone for almost everything I do because I always have it with me. Now, you should note, and I've told you this before, that I have almost all the notifications turned off on my phone, even for social media. I don't get that little red circle that tells me how many Facebook messages I have or anything like that. All those little red circle notifications are turned off. All of the sounds are turned off. I can get to all of my social media on my phone, but I can't see when I have anything that is unread. I also used my phone to communicate to my husband and the kids. So even if they were at school, I would send a message saying, hey, I'm coming at this time, or Nana is picking you up, or what do you want for dinner? Because sometimes I was picking up fast food on the way to school to get them just based on logistics of the evening. I was also able to catch up on social media tasks on my phone while I was waiting in between appointments with the kids, even though I normally like to do that on my desktop at home. The fourth thing I did was I remained calm so that the kids and Greg remained calm too. I noticed that when I get frustrated, everybody is frustrated. When I'm mad, everybody's mad. When I'm sad, everybody is sad. It's a little bit frustrating. I mean, come on, aren't I allowed to be the person who has an off day once in a while? But pretty much, no, I'm not allowed to be the person who has an off day once in a while, and everybody takes their cue from me. So while the expectations at the time and the extra appointments are being piled on and the money that it was going to cost and all of the things are coming at me, if I said, oh, it's no big deal, we're just going to go to Chick-fil-A on the way home and then we'll do this and then we'll do that, the kids were fine. They just got in the car and they did whatever I said. They knew whatever the next thing was because I told them. They didn't have to worry about where we were going or what we were doing. The same was true for my husband. If he said, I have to work overtime, and I said, no big deal, we're going to Chick-fil-A, I'm doing this, I'll see you at 8 o'clock, then he would say, okay, great. He didn't have to worry about the logistics of organizing the 80 hours of unexpected events that were happening in those 2 weeks. He just wanted to be told where to be, when, and what his responsibilities were. In order to do that, I had to say no to me. Almost everything that I normally do, like paint my nails, read, or watch TV, went away. And I said yes to Greg and the kids for almost everything. Now, what tends to happen when you're unorganized is you need to do this longer than 2 weeks. It's not just 2 weeks like it was for me, and then you get a break. When you're overwhelmed and you're living in a disorganized stage, like I said through, it would derail you for months like it did for me. So I'm not saying that this is, oh, poof, just do what Lisa said and you'll be totally productive and organized. No, this worked because I've been doing this for 5 years and I have an assistant now in my business and I have somebody clean my house and my house is completely organized. This only worked because I already had all of these systems in place. Another thing I did was I picked the most urgent tasks and I was constantly prioritizing in my head the most urgent and important things that needed to get done. I did them and I moved on to the next thing. I didn't worry. I didn't worry if we were going to get the whole list done. I didn't worry if we were going to get the schoolwork done. I didn't worry that what I was doing wasn't the most important thing. The health of my kids and what my family needed was the most important thing, and everything else could wait or just be undone. Now, there is one other thing that did get sacrificed more than just my time to paint my nails. All those frivolous things went away, which were no big deal. And you could do that for a certain amount of time. But at the end of the 2 weeks, I started thinking, okay, we made this through because I wanted to tell you about it. And I thought, this is amazing. I can't believe we did this. Like, this is awesome. Everything's working again. And as I was reflecting to tell you this on the podcast, I thought, okay, what really got sacrificed? What did I miss? And why can't I live like this all the time? And I realized the thing that got sacrificed, which I have told you before, is Greg. Greg is the one that got sacrificed. He is the one that I didn't have time to spend to talk to. He is the one I didn't watch TV with at night. He is the one who had to do extra with the kids when he already has a very full and stressful life. He had to do even more. He is what got sacrificed. Not the kids, not the work, and not the dog. It was Greg. That's what happens when we're not organized and we don't have time to prioritize the way we want to. It's easy to let the adult members in our life go by the wayside and think, well, we'll deal with them later or we'll help them later. It's so funny that I came to that realization, and that night when Greg came home from work, I can't remember what Greg said, but something to the effect of, I never see you anymore. And I said, well, it's because we had these 2 weeks and now let's make dinner and talk. And he was great after that. In my relationship, my husband is very loyal and very sacrificial. So if I say, do this, he's going to do it for me, and he's not going to assert himself into my calendar and say, you have to spend time with me, I haven't seen you. He's just going to go with the flow and follow my lead. And that's great when I'm trying to get things done. It's not great for having an awesome, vibrant marriage. It's ironic that I figured out that that was the thing that got sacrificed right when he was feeling really put off or maybe not loved in the way he wanted to be loved. So this getting organized thing, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It has a huge impact, not only on your space and how your space looks, but your ability to drop everything and take care of your kids or the people that you work with so that they can go and grieve or do what they need to do. And you can pick up the pieces and not be a hot mess or all stressed out about it. It's important for your marriage if you're married. The more organized you are, the more time you have for those people that you love and for yourself. I also realized during these 2 weeks that I have a lot of time for myself now that I didn't have in the past. I wasn't able to read books or do my nails in the past like I can now. And it's because I decluttered first, and then I got organized. And over the past 3 years, I've been organizing and decluttering, I've been refining my systems and getting more productive. The more productive you are, the easier it is to make changes in your agenda so that what needs to get done gets done. And everyone else can follow along without being stressed out.